Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. We begin this week 2 of Decade 2, on a musical note. Matt Novak sets the musical pace for Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later, Netflix's new miniseries. He joins me next from Los Angeles. The television world woke up this morning to another blockbuster Netflix development. Shonda Rhimes and her Shondaland empire leading ABC to create Netflix content at will. We'll have the details of this bombshell agreement in a few minutes. Also ahead, more Netflix content formation, new Showtime comedies, and 2 prizes in play for this week's classic trivia question. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Nice to have you with us on this Monday afternoon for the program All About Television. 78 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We got a coast-to-coast connection for you. Our guest in L.A., yours truly here in the Big Apple. And we invite you, wherever you are, to be in the conversation. All it takes, picking up the phone and using this number. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. And our chat room is open for business. Another way you get involved, you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Get 798 and Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. So either way, phone or chat room, we will get you involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Composer Matt Novak joins us live from L.A. after these news notes. Popular series creator and producer Shonda Rhimes is now calling Netflix home base. After 15 years with ABC, Rhimes has launched a multi-year arrangement with Netflix to develop new series and other projects, other to be detailed later, through her Shondaland enterprise. For now, ABC will have a relationship with Rhimes and Shondaland through current series such as Grey's Anatomy and How to Get Away with Murder. The upcoming For the People series is scheduled for spring or winter 2018 premiere, and projects on development before Netflix announcement early this morning. The new partnership is expected to last through 2020 and gives Rhimes a percentage of back-end revenue as well. Longtime Shondaland second-in-command Betsy Beers will continue in that role under this arrangement. And guess what? That's not the only development programming news out of Netflix today. Prolific series producer, and I should say sitcom producer, Chuck Roy of Two and a Half Men fame, among other things, has set up his second effort at the service after disjointing his first debut on August 25th. Number 2 will be the Kominsky Method. That's right, the Kominsky Method, co-starring Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin as actor, veteran, and veteran agent, respectively. There's no determining yet or no confirmation yet on this project from Netflix. The Hollywood Reporter put this item on their website just an hour ago. And a third item from Netflix, All Three Media has the green light to produce an 8-episode teenage runaway drama with supernatural elements. The series was made in England and involved producers from the acclaimed Starz miniseries The Missing. No title yet for this undertaking, expected to run via Netflix next year. And now for something completely Netflix different, 2 new comedy series will debut on Showtime this fall. White Famous, starring former Saturday Night Live actor Jay Pharoah and executive produced by Jamie Foxx, will be going on first October 15th. Second up will be SMILF, based on Frankie Shaw's award-winning short film. Shaw of the series takes off on November 5th, and Shaw will star, as well as write, produce, and direct. Now for the quickies, Vice will launch a new Spanish-language television program based on its handiwork coming up on Universo on August 21st. Mike Tirico will be the new play-by-play caller of NBC's Notre Dame football games on Saturday afternoon starting September 2nd, replacing Dan Hicks full-time. And Food Network star 2017, their star, is Jason Smith, announced last night from the Los Kings Theater here in Brooklyn. Smith's first assignment will be judged on Best Baker in America, the new Food Channel series that will come to the network next month. And that is news notes for today. It's been our pleasure over the course of our first decade to introduce you, our audience, to the new generation of television composers, people such as Emmy Award nominee Nathan Barr from The Americans and Hemlock Grove, Emmy nominee Jeff Russo from Fargo, last year's Emmy Award-winning composer for drama series for Mr. Robot, Matt Quayle, who is up this year for two Emmy Awards, one for his score for Feud, the FX miniseries, the other for the opening title theme for that score. And just this past Friday, we brought you Emmy Award winner in the animation department, the literary modest, who will have a non-tune composition presented live at Carnegie Hall in October. Well, our next guest is also a member of that next generation. Some of you may know him for his long-running score for the series Children's Hospital, which ran successfully for many years on Adult Swim. Now he's involved in the sequel to Netflix's Wet Hot American Summer prequel. It's called 10 Years Later and is currently running. Joining us live from Los Angeles, composer Matt Novak. Matt, great to have you with us.
Hi, Simon. It's great to be here, and thanks for listing me with all those other fantastic composers. I'm honored to be included in that list.
You're very, very welcome. You're definitely part of it, thanks to your work on Children's Hospital and on this series. How did you get the Netflix gig?
Netflix gig I got through Craig Wedren. He was a lead composer on the show. He also co-scored the movie Wet Hot American Summer with Theodore Shapiro. I've worked with Craig for almost 10 years now, off and on as part of his scoring team that he calls Pink Ape. There's a couple of the composers involved and some musicians, and we all kind of collaborate together and with Craig as our head honcho, and it's great.
By the way, guest 805 just joined our chat room. Simon Apple 04 Financial, welcome into the room along with guest 798 and Rick Weller, friend from Philly. So if any of you would like to jump in, pop some questions in the room, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. When you deal with a property that people know all over the place, like Wet Hot American Summer, how does that dictate what kind of music you compose?
Well, it starts off by watching the original movie over and over again, and getting a feel for the style that Craig and Teddy established, and then blossoming and branching out from there. There were a few moments where we reused an original theme or did a variation of one of the themes from the movie. But overall, a show like Wet Hot, there's so many parodies of different genres. So it was about 50-50, some of the score was based on the original movie, but the rest of it had to be completely new based on whatever parodying we were happening to be doing for a specific storyline.
Mm-hmm. A lot of composers will often talk to a series creator or main writer, main director, before they put the score down. Did you do that as well, besides dealing with the original composers?
A little bit. I happen to be working out that the David Wayne, the director of the movie and the series, was also one of my bosses on Children's Hospital. So he and I already had a relationship, and we all with Craig. Craig still kind of dictated and manage the whole project, but since I already knew David, I was able to kind of work with him, which is it's atypical for another kind of additional music or co-scoring project. Typically, the one composer would handle everything, but we were all kind of a big happy family. We were all just collaborating together.
What kind of musical style were you going for? Were you going for, let's say, a very sweeping orchestral style? Were you going for something that was like a Moog synthesizer or synthesizer bass, electronic bass, a mix of both, or something totally different, let's say like solo instruments sort of getting their thing?
It's about a mix of everything. My forte is orchestral music, so that's the cues from the show that require that. That's pretty much what I handled. But there were a few different parodies. Like we did a whole storyline. Hopefully I'm not spoiling anything, but I mean, it's been out for a week, so I can spoil it probably a little bit. There's a whole kind of psycho erotic thriller in like the Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Basic Instinct style. So that was a combination of orchestral and kind of 90s synth scores and kind of creepy thriller scores. But then on the other end, there's big action movies like 90s action movies like Under Siege or suspense thrillers like The Fugitive that needed big orchestral action cues. So it did vary from storyline to storyline.
We're speaking with Matt Novak. He is one of the composers of Wet Hot American Summer 10 Years Later. It's a new miniseries on Netflix, which earlier did a prequel of that very popular movie. Matt joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart TV Televised, and that miniseries is available on Netflix, which is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, so on and so forth. We're with you right now live on Blog Talk Radio on Smart TV Televised, second week of our second decade on the air at the Pro Mall about Television. Tom and Apple Bound with you live from New York. 78 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or a comment, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Finally, on the program, we have a very interesting hour for you. On the first half of the hour, we'll speak with Travel Channel executive Neil Regan, also executive producer of a brand new series coming later this month called Caribbean Pirate Treasures. It's hosted by the famed explorer Philippe Cousteau, himself, of course, the son of the great undersea icon Jacques Cousteau. And on the second half of the hour, we'll showcase someone we have never showcased before in this program's existence, one of the great unsung heroes of television, the news cameraman. And in this case, a former ABC News person who spent four decades in the field, everywhere from Vietnam to 9/11. His name is Tony Hiroshini, and he's just written a brand new book called On the Front Lines of the Television War. He will be with us, so is editor Terry Irvin. The book is published by Casemate, and later on in the program, you'll have an opportunity to win a copy for yourself, which is forwarded by Ted Koppel, as part of our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. So stay tuned, you can win that, plus another prize as well that we're holding over from last week. So stay tuned later in the program. Both those prizes, including that book, On the Front Lines of Television War, can be yours. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Matt, when you do music for a parody like this, do you try to play the music straight, or you try to go, I'm going to wink at the audience a little bit here. I'm going to wink at the style. I'm going to wink at the what I'm parodying.
It varies, but I think most of the time I try to play it straight. I'll try to read the comedy that's having on the screen, and usually, especially in an absurdist comedy like Wet Hot or Children's Hospital, a lot of the comedy comes from the actors kind of committing seriously to a bonkers premise. So I think I've found that if I score it straight, maybe a little bit over the top, but if I score it straight as if it was a drama or an action movie or whatever, it enhances the comedy, because it just I contribute to that seriousness that all the actors are. And I felt that when you wink at the audience, sometimes you can do it. Sometimes, but I think a lot of the times it can have a negative effect of you risk taking the funny out of it. Like, you don't want to say, hey, this is a joke. But you just want to kind of play it straight and let the jokes breathe and let the story breathe. And then the comedy just kind of comes out of that.
Sometimes, though, you can walk that tightrope. I remember when I watched Ghostbusters, how Elmer Bernstein, one of the great composers of all time for both television and film, would sometimes have a score that was pretty straightforward, pretty spooky, and then sometimes he'd throw in a theme that would be sort of like, I think you wanted to be on a joke, where it was like sort of a little scary, but not so, but scary with a bit of a humorous spin. Again, like he's winking at the audience. I get you. You get me. We're having a good time.
Yeah. Well, I think definitely. And I think that's an artistic choice that the filmmakers and the composers all kind of collaborate and make on their own. Because I think, you know, it's like you want to be serious, but also you don't want to be so serious. You're just weighing everything. Like, you don't want to be so dramatic that you still want to have a little bit of fun. You know, with like a horror comedy like Ghostbusters, you almost can't score like a horror. You want to scare the audience. But yeah, that's a very good point. And I think you're right. Like, we still have fun. We still not we overdo it, we oversell it as we need it, but we do still have fun. That's a very good point.
For this miniseries, did you write everything all at once, or did you like to say, all right, I'm going to do this episode first, then maybe pause a little bit, then do this episode, pause a little bit, and so on until you got all the episodes complete?
You know, it's interesting with Netflix, even though they release the whole series at once, we still kept to a typical network show schedule. Like, we were going episode by episode. It was basically about one episode a week, maybe a week and a half. We did do that. So it was close to a typical TV show, but it did allow us to kind of shuffle the episodes around a little bit. Like, we started from the beginning and then we jumped to the last episode and started working our way backwards. So we did have a little bit of flexibility that way, just because the last few episodes it's so much music. If you've watched the show, it's almost wall to wall with songs and score, and Craig did all the amazing song homages in the series, and so we were able to be flexible and score a little bit in the way we wanted it, for time frame wise, but it was still very much like a regular TV show schedule.
Mm-hmm. How did you break into television? Were you a composer that did other forms of music first, and then television comes along, or were you always how to have a TV career?
I went to school for composition and film and TV scoring at Northern Illinois University and USC. I think growing up, I always wanted to be a film composer. I'm a big sci-fi fan, so it's like like so many composers dreamed about scoring Star Wars and things like that. But I kind of fell into TV a little bit. I started working as a music library composer, so doing advertisements and movie trailers and just kind of various things. And started working for Craig. When I first started working for him, I was his assistant on Role Model, so that was a film. And then I just kind of fell into Children's Hospital after that. Just from a recommendation from Craig and David Wayne and Rob Corddry and the other producers on that show, and just kind of fell into it. And I feel like I really love it. And it's interesting that I kind of fell into comedy, and I seem to have a knack for it, and I really love it. And I still love doing film as well. So it's trying to have a mixed career of both as film and TV composer.
Children's Hospital was one of those series on Adult Swim that sort of had a core audience, and then as season after season went along and more people discovered it and the critics started to discover it also, it really started to gel to become one of the top series on Adult Swim. As you went season after season, did the producers invite you to, let's say, be more experimental, try more things, take more chances?
Well, I think they encouraged everyone to do that. When Children's Hospital ended, I remember looking back at every season, and just every season, the whole show as a whole got better and more daring, and they're trying different things, and just everyone was gelling with the writing and the acting, and the producers were very encouraging of everyone to just give it their all and trying to push to beat what they did last season. And that was always my personal goal. Every season I wanted to write a better score. So I was trying new things, pushing myself as a composer. And I think it all worked out great. And the final season, I think, is the best season, because I think you could see that in all the performances, the writing, and hopefully hear it in the music as well.
When I'm American Summer, 10 years later, is Netflix's new miniseries available on smart TV sets and most smart TV devices. And we've got one of the composers for the series, Matt Novak, also known for his work on the popular Adult Swim series for many years, Children's Hospital. He's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And we're delighted you are along for the ride, too. Simon Applebaum with you live from wherever you are. And if you have a question or comment for Matt, get on the phone. Use this number, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We have a 90-minute show coming your way a week from today with a lot of very interesting people, including the folks behind a brand-new venture coming in October from Warner Brothers. It's called Stage 13, and it will bring you short-form as well as long-form scripted content from people of color. Some of the programming has already premiered at film festivals like Sundance and Tribeca. I've seen some of it. It's really remarkable work. We will have the former head of Moondose, Sandra Mogollon, with us. She heads Stage 13, and will the Warner Brothers executive as well, who is handling the scripted side of that project. Also, we'll have the general manager of a service that is getting a lot of attention around the country because it's not only available on the web, it's now becoming more and more available on cable systems and over-the-top people around the country. It's called Newsy, and we'll have the general manager of the service from Scripps, Blake Sabatelli. Plus, we'll have a former contestant of The Voice who is making her debut in a Netflix movie coming up called Anastasia, Once Upon a Time. Aaliyah will be joining us. That's all ahead. That's next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Matt, what's your take on the state of TV music today? It seems that we have a throwback to like all sorts of styles as opposed to everybody diving into one specific way to do music, whether it is full orchestra, little small ensemble, all synthesizer, all electronic. It seems that we're back to a period where all sorts of things are being done.
Well, the TV scoring as a whole is just kind of so incredible. I mean, it's always been, I've always been fascinated by TV scores. But I think you're seeing so many different styles. Like you're seeing styles of music that would fit well in a feature film. And I think a lot of ways TV as a whole is becoming more cinematic. And I'm sorry, what was your original question again?
I was saying, are you seeing that the different types of styles, as you mentioned, is more cinematic? And I'm wondering if people are paying homage in a way to some of the classic composers of both film and television, people like Bernard Herrmann or Jerry Goldsmith or John Williams, Franz Waxman, Jerry Goldsmith, you know, some of the even Mike Post, Steve Carpenter, Mark Snow, some of the folks who sort of were the pioneers of television music.
I mean, I think a little bit. I think all the TV composers these days, we all grew up idolizing those famous composers. I love Jerry Goldsmith and Elliot Goldenthal, John Williams, of course. And I think there's always maybe a little bit of homage here and there. But I think a lot of TV scores these days are also becoming very experimental. Like just what, you know, Matt Quayle is doing on Mr. Robot and the Stranger Things score, Stranger Things being an homage to kind of, you know, the 80s synth score like John Carpenter. And so there are homages around, I think, but also kind of taking, it's interesting to see what composers do to take it in its own, in their own way. Does that answer your question?
It does. And I'll throw in three other composers who have also achieved so much in terms of breaking ground in television. Lalo Schifrin, the man behind Mission Impossible, who's still with us, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Leonard Rosenman, one of the first to do 12-tone scoring in a television series. His work on Combat, by the way, is an underrated masterpiece, but other music, too, from Marcus Well BMD to movies and miniseries. Double Emmy winner, by the way, for his work. And also, I'd also put down as well, what was I thinking of? Lalo Schifrin. Oh, and David Raskin, who did the music, the theme for Ben Casey. And a wonderful show that got a lot of attention on YouTube called Breaking Point, which is a really wonderful theme for that, a very unique theme. But all three of those composers did a lot of cutting-edge scores. And speaking of cutting-edge, let's cut a call in. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, great to have you this Monday. You're on the phone with Matt. Go ahead.
Hey, Matt. Simon was just asking about homage, and I'm wondering an offshoot of that with parody. You've done a lot of parodies, and you've had to score a lot of parody episodes in the past. And I'm wondering, like, how you approach that, and also, like, what the law is. Like, can you do a straight up song copy or whatever for like a certain character? Like Darth Vader always walks in and he has his theme. So are you allowed to do that theme as long as the content's a parody, or do you have to do a variation?
Sure. So let me ask you, I'll answer the second part first. So with parody, we can't outright reuse a theme so we can get kind of close. And as long as there's no hard and fast rule, we are kind of towing, you know, walking that thin line between parody and knockoffs or copyright violations. As long as there's a parody on screen, as long as the whole production is doing a parody, we can get pretty close. And by close, I mean it's basically an homage. So I'll start by breaking down whatever we're parodying, figuring out the musical language, figuring out the instrumentation, and figuring out what makes that particular style tick. And as a young composer growing up, that's like one of the best boot camp training schools you can get just breaking down what makes these great scores tick. It's fantastic. But anyway, so I'll start with that, and then I'll try to turn off the temp and just come up with, I try to do my best to just homage the style rather than a particular piece of music. So it's just, if we did a thriller or a suspense cue, I'll listen to a couple different references, not just what I'm particularly parodying, but something, other cues within that style. So I just, it's almost like an homage of that style, like a continuation of that style that will hopefully work as a callback and remind the audience of what we're parodying.
Okay. Yeah. I get it. So cool. Well, thanks a lot for answering the question. And I would definitely say to any listeners out there to check out your SoundCloud, because just some amazing work on there. So keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thank you, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Take care. Rick, we're our friend from Philadelphia here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's next for you, Matt? What's coming up?
I'm currently working on an independent feature documentary called The Akron Holy War, which is directed by a friend of mine named Anthony Finelli. It's about high school football in Akron, Ohio. There's these two high schools that it's considered one of the biggest sports rivalries in the country. So I'm currently working on that. That's going to be premiering in Akron on September 17th. And they're currently trying to shop it around to various streaming outlets. So hopefully that'll pop online somewhere soon.
Great. And any new TV assignment coming up?
Not at the moment. Currently just focusing on the feature, but then, you know, looking for the next gig.
Well, you never know. Could be coming around the bend. Anyway,
exactly.
And by the way, Netflix, very big on documentaries. You never know. They might pick it up. They've done very well with documentaries over the last couple of years. Some of them have gotten Oscar nominations, Peabody wins, Emmy nominations. You never know.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Wild Hunt American Summer, 10 years later. Check it out on Netflix. If you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device, chances are you can catch that miniseries anytime you like, 24/7 through Netflix. More details about the miniseries online, here's where you go, Netflix.com. That's Netflix.com. Matt Novak, composer for Wild Hunt American Summer, thank you again for joining us. Pleasure to have you aboard. Again, one of the next generation of great TV and film composers. Best luck to you on the documentary, and hopefully we can catch you down the road soon.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Simon. This is fun.
Absolutely, Matt. All the greatest. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
Matt Novak from Los Angeles joining us live here on Tomorrow We Televise. When we come back, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week and another up segment on TV In My Bones, how that off-Broadway production made out over this weekend, and the latest on their Indiegogo campaign. But first, we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected with the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Get your home for the Juice Live with Melody Waters. Melody and crew come your way tonight with lots of good music and fun at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for more of Tomorrow Be Televised. We're kicking off week number two of decade number two as the program All About the Two. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Coming up next, our classic TV question of the week and an up segment about TV In My Bones, how it made out, in part with help from yours truly, on Saturday afternoon. But first, some words from the people at Audible.com. One of the great things about audiobooks is that it gives you the opportunity to relive some of the best movies you've seen in recent years. Movies like, with wonderful performances by Octavia Spencer, Viola Davis, and crew, well, you can catch the help through Audible.com, narrated by Jenna Landa. And how do you do it? You use this wonderful website address, audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. And that you get you connected with the fine folks at Audible.com and what they have to offer. That's why they're a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like The Help, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. But in order to do it, use this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, and you can be on your way. Let's be on our way right now with our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer this week, we have not one but two prizes in play. One is a wonderful collection of Disney Junior Magnets, great to hang up all over the place, perfect for anyone in the family. And the second is a book we'll be spotlighting on Friday's episode, On the Front Lines of the Television War, published by Casemate. It looks at the Vietnam War from the standpoint of somebody who was there and covering it for ABC News, news cameraman Tony Hirashiki. It is a wonderful quote by Ted Koppel. Terry Kerving is the editor, and he and Tony will be with us live on Friday's episode. So, if you want a copy of this book, On the Front Lines of the Television War, plus the Disney Junior Magnet, listen carefully, be first with the correct answer, and you could win. Our question this week is an homage to Joseph Belonga, the wonderful, fun actor and comedy writer who passed away over the weekend. With his wonderful partner and wife, partner in both work and life, Renee Taylor, Belonga created a wonderful bunch of movies, including the Oscar-nominated Lovers of the Strangers for their writing and Oscar-winning for their song, For All We Know, that Fred Carlin composed and was sung by The Carpenters, one of The Carpenters' best tunes, by the way. But from 1987 to 1988, Belonga was the star of an NBC dramedy about life as a musical family. And that's what we want you to name. Name the 1980s NBC dramedy starring the late Joseph Belonga. And I'll give you a hint, three-word title. Title is three words. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your full mailing address. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the Disney Junior Magnet set and the new book On the Front Lines of the Television War by Tony Hirashiki, and edited by Terry Irving, with a foreword by Ted Koppel, published by Casemate. And we thank Casemate for the opportunity to offer the book through this wonderful regular weekly feature, our classic trivia question of the week. So once again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your full mailing address. Soon you do, soon you have the chance to win. And if you just missed the question right now, don't worry. I'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page, also on Twitter, at my handle, at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. But remember, in order to win, be in, and all the very best. And before we leave you today, one more up as an update, where we follow up on guests and topics we had in this program. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on an off-Broadway play that just wrapped up its run Sunday at Theater for the New City in Manhattan called TV in My Bones. It's a play, really a set of sketches about how TV impacts some very eccentric people. It was put together by playwright D.S. Hansen and co-producers and co-stars Phoebe Hansen, Phoebe Marr, and Caitlin Pierce. Phoebe and C.S. were on our show a couple weeks ago, and they were on 2 weeks ago, along with Caitlin Pierce, on our last Tomorrow We Televised segment for BK Live, locally on Brick TV. By the way, you can catch the homepage, bronxarena.com/televised, for our segment with Phoebe and C.S., and youtube.com/BrickTV for our video segment. Well, I had a chance to see the play on Saturday afternoon, and not just see the play, but also take part in a very unusual way. If you heard the interview, and you still can on the homepage, you may remember that Phoebe and C.S. invited me to take part on Saturday afternoon in an after-performance talkback, where the cast comes together 5 minutes after they get a chance to, like, cool down, get settled back in their normal street clothes. They come on the stage, and somebody introduces them, plus engages in a chat with both them and with the audience with questions and answers. Well, I had the opportunity to do that after seeing this wonderful play, and it was a great experience. We had about 25 people in the audience, wonderful Q&A from the audience, great questions about TV, about the cast, how they did their characters. It was so much fun. So thank you, Phoebe and CS, for the opportunity, and thank you, Theater for the New City, for the opportunity to stage that play. We're happy to tell you that the play is going to possibly have a run beyond off-Broadway. Secondly, we should point out that the Indiegogo campaign that is happening for that play, which started about a month ago, still has a week to go, and so far, out of $8,000 they want to raise, out of an hour ago, they raised $6,385, over 80% of the total. And you still can go to Indiegogo.com over the next 6 days, and if you want to make a donation to see what they do with the play beyond off-Broadway, you can certainly do that. Also, we want to let you know that Theater for the New City has a campaign that they're running. I didn't know about it until I got to the theater, and that is they're raising money from their audience and from people who come to see their plays to raise money for a new elevator that would be accessible for people with different disabilities, dealing with wheelchairs, cushions, and so forth, and giving them the opportunity to have easier access to the live theater that this organization presents on a daily and weekly basis. They've got a wonderful grant from the Christopher Dana Reed Foundation, and to people that donate to this campaign, the New York State Council of the Arts will match them dollar for dollar up to a certain point. So I want to let you know that I've already made a contribution to the mail to Theater for the New City, and if you'd like to do the same for this wonderful organization and what they're doing to try to encourage more access for people who would love to see live theater and can't because of issues with wheelchairs or crutches or prosthetics, and dealing with elevator and accessibility and so forth, here's where you go, theaterforthenewcity.net, theaterforthenewcity.net. You can make your contribution out there. They have an online way to do it. You can go to any of Theater New City's productions upcoming and make a donation there after the performance or when you take a moment in intermission, whatever. And whatever you donate, by the way, whether it's one penny or $1,000, is greatly appreciated. Again, it will be matched by people from the New York State Council on the Arts. So once again, theaterforthenewcity.net. And again, thanks to that organization for what they're doing to promote live theater, off-Broadway style, here in New York. I understand that we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to take the call, and let's see what happens. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up? It's that chicken head.
Hello there. Where are you calling from? What city? I'm sorry, from where? That person went off the line and just went off. I guess it was a, what they call a C-R-A-N-K call. Sorry about that. We wanted to give them a try, but apparently didn't have much to say. But we do appreciate the fact that they called, if not to say what they had to say. So apologize for that. Anyway, we are just about ready to wrap up today's episode. Start of week two of decade number two. Let's tell you again, so coming up on our program on Friday, we will have Neil Regan from Travel Channel, vice president there and also executive producer of the new Travel Channel series we made this month with Philippe Cousteau, Caribbean Pirate Treasures. It is a visual beauty. And then we will have, from the new book on the front lines of the television war, author and former ABC News cameraman for four decades, Tony Hirashiki, and editor Terry Irving. And once again, you can use this for being involved in our Class Series Question of the Month. It's the week. If you get the question right, you will win this book in our Disney. And coming up on our program a week from Monday, a week from today, we will have a 90-day edition for you. We'll kick it off with people behind a brand new venture called Stage 13 that's coming this October to smart TV sets and smart devices. The general manager of Stage 13, Joey Mundos, Diane McGowan, and from Warner Brothers TV, we'll have executive and the head of scripted TV for Stage 13, Christopher Mack. Then, from Newsy, the general manager of that venture from Scripps, Blake Sabatellini, and we'll have the former voice contestant, Aaliyah, who is starring in a brand new Netflix movie, Anastasia, Once Upon a Time. It's all coming up a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. And we also want you to check out our podcast version, and that's available on iTunes.com. And if you have Apple TV, the Apple TV podcast. So iTunes podcast app on Apple TV. If you don't have Apple TV, go to Apple Store to you. I understand the person just called that chicken head is that person. Just called. Says, yo, 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 hey, I'm calling. Chicken head, if you're serious, I'll tell you what. We'll give you another minute or so to get back on the line. And if you're serious, you know, you can have a serious conversation. We'll put you on the line. If not, then do not call, okay? Well, we appreciate you getting in the chat room as well. All right? So, as I was saying, you can check out our recent episodes, including our episodes of our 10th anniversary last week, all on podcast, Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes. Again, that's iTunes or the iTunes podcast app if you have Apple TV. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. We really appreciate you getting aboard. We appreciate your comments, your feedback on our program. All you have to do to do that is email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And remember, you can also use that email to be involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. We also have a feature called A Show You Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough credit? Well, we give it the credit if you let us know, and we'll give you the credit for the suggestion. So again, it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can always find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's at UBC Simon, TWBT. Whatever you say, it's always appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toth is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. It all starts by getting involved at audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow Will Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening wherever you are along the Blog Talk Radio way. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday and week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.